Okay.
You silly ass.
Okay. Hello, Yurti. How are you doing today?
What's up, Janelle? I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm having a good day. Excited. You know, this might be excitement or coffee. I don't know, but I've been feeling quite low lately. And the way I'm feeling right now, I'm like, yeah, like I can do this. And I don't know if it's coffee, if it's excitement.
Do you typically drink coffee?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not the coffee then.
No, sometimes it can be like a stronger coffee. And then
it gives you a little extra kick.
Yeah.
I think you just had a good day, and that's what's giving you all this energy.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I was on a date that was like really stimulating my intelligence.
It was okay, your intelligence. All right. I was like, I mean, you said it was a date.
It was stimulating my intelligence.
It's like midday. It looks like midday there. So
midday,
like,
yeah. It's 6 p.m. right now. Yeah.
Yeah. You was getting stimulated at midday.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
It was a successful date. And I think probably because of that, I have all this energy. And then coffee adds to it.
That's what's up.
Yeah. How are you, Jerry?
Good. You know, I'm in Detroit. You know what I'm saying? I'm in Detroit.
Shout out to Detroit, bitches.
Hey, back in the D. What's up, my Detroit motherfuckers, what's good? I love y'all. I do miss Detroit, and
me too.
I went out last night. I went out and partied a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I've been partying a lot lately.
Okay.
I have been. I've been partying.
Are you trying to make up for the COVID closures and shit like that?
That's exactly. Honestly, that is what I thought. I thought I was gonna have a repeat of Summer 16. I know everybody don't know what Summer 16 is yet. I'm gonna let y'all know what Summer 16 was, but like.
Summer.
You know, if you remember Drake's song, All Summer 16.
Yeah.
All Summer 16.
Yeah.
Going dirty.
You got so
clean.
Excited about this.
Because that was the craziest 16. Year. That was the craziest year of my life. But, like, I thought this year was going to be a movie. You know, I thought, you know, COVID's coming, you know, dropping off, and, like, we're going to be going out, and, like, everyone's going to be wild as fuck. We're going to be out in these streets. And it hasn't quite been that, but I've been chasing it. You know, I've been
chasing the high.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been like, it started, you know, I think it
from the
moved to the, well, it started from the bottom. Now here, but I moved to that new place, right? You know, in Boston, right on the water. And this, you know, it just like the atmosphere is so lit. And I thought, oh man, this is going to be fucking dope. It's going to it's going to heal all of my depression that I had during. During COVID, you know, like it's gonna.
I'm loving this. I'm loving that you're saying this because a lot of people probably think the same thing. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, think about it. Like, how many people are depressed during COVID? Like,
oh,
I mean, more depressed
hands
than you typically
up,
are.
Me,
yeah,
hands
I mean,
up,
I,
me.
I was extremely depressed. I'm not a.
Yeah.
I've never been. I've been depressed in my life before, but this was like a different, deep seated depression.
Yeah.
And I just felt an extreme amount of loneliness, and I thought, you know what? At the end of this shit, I'm going to be out every day doing shit, you know, doing blow off a chick's asses and shit like that. I don't even do blow. Like, I ain't never even done this shit
hold
before.
Hold on. I got to ask you a question. If you never did blow, so if you did right now, right, I would bring a chick into the room and I said, Jerry, this is your fucking shot. You can do blow off this chick's ass. What part of the ass would you choose?
I mean, the cheek, not the crack. No crack.
What if you just spread it out and like put it in a crack? What if it's like waxed and like
and
waxed
clean
and then
blown out.
And clean, blown out, and then like whitened and stuff, like skin bleach?
It's gonna be the cheek. It's gonna be the cheek.
Just the cheek.
It's just going to be the cheeks.
You're not down, man.
I ain't down. I ain't down for no random shit. I ain't down for no random shit.
Would you do it off my crack?
Do a blowout.
Would you do it? You got to fucking answer this. Would you do it out of my butt crack? Would you do blow out of my butt crack?
No, I would not do blow out of your ass crack. Number one, we ain't fucking. Number two.
But what if was like.
Back
in our days or whatever. Or what if it's
days.
A bet or just you just want to live it up a little bit?
Maybe. Maybe. I'll go with maybe. I
That's
guess it depends
boring.
On the situation. I mean, it's a maybe. It's a maybe for me. It depends on the situation. I was going to do blow off a chick's ass once.
Yeah.
In Miami. I met it was a random chick. and unfortunately, I couldn't do it. She had a problem. She had to leave. And she was crying. She had to leave the club. And I was like, fuck, I was ready to do that shit. You know, and I never done it before.
Well, I feel like
if I feel like I'm gonna do blow, it's got to be kind of extreme. Like if I'm gonna do it, it needs to be a story. Like I need content for the podcast if I'm gonna be doing blow off ass.
Like, but listen, not do it for the gram, do it for the podcast. Now,
now I'm doing shit for the podcast.
Doing
I'm
shit here. For the podcast. like this dude that I was dating. I think we recorded an episode on that, like back in the day. Like, he blamed that I'm living my life so I can blog about it. And I'm like, dog.
Oh, yeah, I remember that shit.
No, I'm blogging about
my life. And I'm blogging about my life. What the fuck are you talking about?
But I was like, but fuck it. You know, I might as well. It's interesting. It's fucking good times.
But, like, the whole back to this party and shit, right? Like,
yeah.
Even those situations, right? Like, I feel like when you're partying, you're always chasing something. Right. You always have this thing, this underlying issue or problem that you're either running from or you're trying to get after some high. Mm-hmm. Right. Like it's just like a drug. It's almost like like
what
doing
do you think,
crack or some shit.
What do you think your high or your low is that you're trying to get the high from?
Mine is
did that
escaping
make sense?
Loneliness. Yeah. 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 My low that I'm trying to get a high from. Yeah. Mine, I think, is a sense of loneliness, right? Like I never feel like anyone has me, like it has my back completely.
Yeah,
like all the,
okay.
You know, like is like down you. For me. Well, it's down for me, like, and makes me a priority in life.
Mm.
Like no one in my life have I felt this way about. It is
not
always
even
like,
me. Come on.
Yeah, not even you. Not
fuck
even you.
Fuck you.
And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that. Fuck you. I'm just saying like you have other priorities. And honestly, for me to feel that way, it's not fair for someone else to feel. It's not even fair for me to think that someone should do that for me. I'm just saying it doesn't matter. Feelings aren't necessarily logical.
But then there were times where you didn't want to prioritize like me. In our relationship.
Of course.
So it's like, it's really unfair for you to say that.
I know, but listen to this though. I'll give you the spin on it.
Yeah.
A reason that I have problems committing and committing to relationships and prioritizing things is because I feel like, is this worth it? This person don't even got me like that. Like this person doesn't have my best interest and I can't just be comfortable. And if I can't let my guard down and let everything out, there's no way for me to be able to completely commit to it. And I've always felt this way. So since that's the case, and someone's always choosing other things over me, I feel like, fuck it, I'm going to do me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah. So this is like a good avoiding mechanism, escaping mechanism.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
But
it
it's
really
also,
is.
I think we talked about this. I don't know if we talked about this on a podcast or not, but everything that you need, like everything that you think you want from other people, you can give it yourself. So once you start taking care of your loneliness and giving yourself what you're seeking in other people is like prioritizing yourself, blah, 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 then you're going to be able to give the same back to other people. You're going to be able to prioritize them in relationships because you're going to understand what it is that they're asking you for because you are giving it to yourself and then you can give it to other people. Going back to the topic.
Oh yeah, it's okay. You know, we just bouncing a little bit, but I mean, I think it's all tied together though, because, I mean, partying has been happening since the beginning of time, right? Since humans have been able to ferment alcohol, on accident. You know what I'm saying? And take drugs on accident.
I'm sure they ate mushrooms and berries before that.
Yeah, they did. But they did everything, you know?
They drank some piss, mammoth piss maybe. I don't know what gets you high, but dinosaur piss.
They've been doing shit to alter your emotions and experiences in life for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, right? So people have been doing something to take their mind off of the present, right? Take their mind off of their emotions and
just
have fun. Because I do party to have fun. But I think the underlying thing about, you know, your partying is you're trying to escape something or you're trying to get some type of emotion. Like I said, mine is filling this void of loneliness. Do you know what yours is? Like, what's
to
your
escape partying?
Your low of your high that you're looking for from your low. You know,
good question. So, like, I don't party as much anymore. But when I was in like my early 20s, right, uni or whatever, I would go out, and I was going out. At first it was fun, but then it turned into a little bit of like toxic thing, because then I got a job at a bar. Like, I was working nights at a bar, and it was like, you know, sucking me in because social fucking media, it ruins the world for us. And it's ruining, you know, anyway, that's another topic. But basically, I was at a point in my life where, you know, at that age, let's say when I was like a teenager, I would think that at age 23, I would have this. Mm-hmm. And then the age 23 comes, and then you realize that you don't have that. And but then you watching on social media, everybody else thinking, you know, they're out and about, and you think that they do have that because that's the image that they paint for you, right?
Yeah.
Not even like individual person, but just social media. You watch 100 stories of 100 people, and it paints you a picture. If you watched one story, it's not going to paint you a picture. So I was thinking like, oh, I'm a failure in life because I'm a broke college student and I'm driving a beat up car. And, you know, I'm in certain life situation where I thought I didn't think I'm going to be at this age. And I'm watching social media and people are like, you know, partying and out. And so I'm thinking they got it. So to escape my failures or loneliness or like vulnerability or whatever I was feeling, it for me was a reason to go out, to think that if I'm hanging out with those people, I'm gonna have it the way they do. But the reality is all of us are fucking escaping something, and usually it's the same shit. And then, you know, like working in at nights in a bar industry, it was also very sucking and very addictive. There were times where I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna make through the day without booze. Because I was drinking so much. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know. I can't be sober. I don't want to be sober anymore because the sober reality was difficult. And then you have all the emotions and then hungover shit, you know, hits you like the depression and stuff. And you're like, I just need to continue drinking because I don't want to deal with reality.
I see that a lot. That I don't have that. I guess I won't say that problem. It's a certain bit of it. But when I watch some people drink, I can see that they're escaping their current situation, like their reality, right?
Yeah.
I don't quite see it that way for myself. I do think it's just like, well, I just think I love people. I need to be out with people, right? I need to be out partying, having fun. Like that's what energizes me. And I guess myself, when I'm not psychoanalyzing myself, I'm like, oh, I'm just letting loose because work is stressful, right? I'm getting out for that. But when I really look into it, it's not, right? It's like, I don't feel completely fulfilled in my current day life. So I need to then go out and either drown myself in alcohol or or find that with other people, right? Find that, whatever it is. So like, do you think everyone's is loneliness? Do you think everyone's?
I don't think it might not be loneliness, but I guarantee you it's like some sort of failure, right? Like maybe you've like started a business and you don't have enough courage to like do certain things for your business to be successful. And then you're thinking, I'm fucking failing at this. So let me just go out. Let me just have fun, relax a little bit, get inspired, maybe meet some people that can do some things for me and network. And that's how it's going to like help my business, which it might.
Can happen sometimes. Yeah.
It happens often.
A lot.
You know,
a lot,
often.
A lot.
Yeah. But I think that a lot of people are not mentally strong to, first of all, self-analysis and understand why they're out. The benefits the benefits they get or what they stealing from themselves by being out and being surrounded with alcohol and then, you know, crazy stuff. Like, because when you drink and one drink after another, decision after decision, next thing you know, you're fucking embarrassed for weeks what happened or what you said or what you did, you know? Then you have to deal with the consequences. Too much. Yeah.
Partying is a weird thing, your tea. This whole concept, because I think there are positive effects to it as well. Mm-hmm. right? Like, I think we're kind of dogging party and, like, you know, you shouldn't party. I'm yeah. still going to party. I can't see my life like that. I'll never, you know, I think I'll get to a point in life where it's very limited yeah. to very specific occasions or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But right now, I can't see me going, nah, it's not, I'm not going to do it. Limiting alcohol is one thing, right? You can yeah. limit alcohol and still party, right? You can yeah. limit drug use and still party.
Yeah.
Because I do still, I don't think I'll ever not need human interaction or want that type of, you know, lifestyle. But yeah. I think there are positive effects as well. Like you said, networking is one of those things.
Yeah.
But there are ways to network without partying, right? There are ways. Yeah. I think socializing in general, learning how to socialize with people in big settings and big groups is also another factor. I think when you're young specifically,
mm-hmm.
I believe you kind of got to get it out your system. Like I think personally, you kind of go, all right.
Why do you think you need to get it out of your system? Like, why partying is in your system in first place?
In the first place? Well, we kind of already established why it's in there in the first place. You desire things you haven't done yet. So say you're young, right? Like you said, you're influenced by society.
I started clubbing when I was 16, just exactly. FYI.
Well, you're in Europe. Yeah, yeah. You're in Europe. Yeah, well, yeah, even, yeah, honestly, yeah. yeah, you're in Europe, so it's a little bit easier, but like, even in the United tonic. States.
That's
exactly, exactly. So like, I was about to say that, like, even in the United States, there's some shit you could do and like yeah. fake IDs and even people just having parties in their fucking backyard and basement and shit like that.
Yeah.
You imitate society. So since our whole life and the whole world is like built around alcohol, yeah. drinking, partying, it is literally built around yeah. that. Every type of celebration you have, you're drinking, right? Every type of celebration. So like, since we're doing that, you want to try to imitate that. You want to try to see what that's all about. It's just yeah. like when you want to have sex the first time. You're like, what's that all about? I'm missing yeah. out. You have this missing out thing. So I think when you're young, if you can do it and get that feeling like you – because I think me and you talked about this offline, but it's like yeah. partying is all the same. Like it don't matter what fucking level yeah. it is, right? Like yeah. so like
it, – it's just there.
It's there all the time. Like
yeah. Like if you took the time to focus on yourself, let's say you got pregnant and you popping babies one after another, right? They're like months apart and you end up not partying for like 5 years or something, right? Because you're raising children, you can't drink alcohol, whatever. You're going to get back out there. It's going to be exactly the same.
The same.
It's going to
no
be
fucking
exactly
different.
The same. Nothing is going to change. Like, nothing. Some places don't even change the colors of the wall for years. You know what I mean? They
that's
don't
true,
even,
too. I can yeah. go back to Rick's. I can go back to Rick's in Ann Arbor, and that shit is the same, bro. Like,
yeah,
20
exactly.
years ago.
Exactly. So it's like, it gives people comfort. The people that go there all the time, it gives them comfort, familiarity. Is that the word?
Yeah, yeah. That was
yeah,
a good one.
Okay,
yeah,
I got
yeah.
it. Woo.
remember, this is not your two's first language. Just
yeah, English is my second language. So like it gives people familiarity and then it like sucks you even more and like it's hard to get out and stuff like that.
I think it is tough and it's like, but when I say getting it out of your system, I think it's just if you can do it enough
mm-hmm.
to where you no longer desire it all the time.
Yeah.
That could be beneficial for your later life, right?
Yeah.
I think it can be harmful, though, also, because you might get trapped in it.
Yeah.
You can't get out of it.
I want to touch on something, because it just kind of came, you know, to mind. Dating, alcohol, and women. So from women's perspective, I was, you know, when I was in London, every date would be, let's go for drinks.
Yeah,
and this is probably common for many, many, you know, countries and many cultures or whatever. But I'm talking specifically about London because I've experienced that. It was, let's go for drinks, right? And with girls at work after this one date, we're sitting there and joking. And I told them, you know, like, oh, we kiss, but I don't really think I'm going to see him again. And then my coworker goes, once that second drink hits, we all know it's a common underwritten like rule or whatever. once that second drink hits, you don't care who's in front of you. You're going to make out with them anyway.
Wow. You know what? That's tough. I'm going to let you finish, though.
Yeah, so it's dangerous.
Because I got something to say about that.
It's dangerous, you know, because, like, there were situations when I went on dates, and because of drinks, I was misjudging myself, misbehaving. I'm not saying, like, I was crazy out, but, like, I wasn't 100% myself. Like, alcohol was an influence. So I was misjudging the person. I was misjudging the situations, my feelings towards that person. And I would go home. I'm like, oh, this went great. But in reality, it didn't. Because it was just alcohol infused. And I was like, then I suddenly started like picking dates that are not involving drinks. And then I was a much better judge of, do I actually like this person? Do I like what they say? Blah, blah, blah. You know, their belief system. We actually connecting. And I was advising, not too long ago, I was advising my friend on the same thing. I was like, try either not to drink, like pick a place or something where alcohol is either not very reachable or it's hard to get to, or like, let's say, you know, the bar is far and you have to make multiple trips in order to get to alcohol. Like, somehow, if you can't say no to a sober date, do something so you don't have easy access to it and you just have one drink, or you have one drink later in the date. So even if it's just awkward, I'm like, sit in the fucking awkward state and date. Make it awkward. Eventually, you're going to get, like, if the date is long enough, you're going to get over the awkwardness and you're going to feel comfortable eventually. Google some fucking icebreakers. Ask some silly questions, whatever it is, but, like, be in it. It's going to take you longer to maybe connect with someone, but you're not going to have this alcohol infusion into your life and then make misjudgment. And then when you think the date went great, it actually didn't, you're going to feel the disappointment, like, oh, another date, another date that wasn't successful. Like, what's wrong about me? But, like, maybe we're just misjudging the person.
Maybe you didn't like that motherfucker. That's a good point, too. Yeah. I never thought of that in the way you said it. I guess because I'm not a girl. Yeah. I don't see it the exact same way, but I do subconsciously. So the reason I started drinking was because it seemed... or it seemed to be that my success rate of getting girls and hooking up with girls was so much higher if I was drinking and other people are drinking. And it was weird if I went to parties because I didn't drink when I first got to college. I didn't drink at all. And girls thought it was weird. They'd be like, you're not drinking? I don't want to talk to you. Like, it was really like that. It's like, well, I'm under the influence. I don't want you to take advantage of me. I'm like, bitch, I'm the sober one. You know, that's the idea. It's like, well, I'm drinking. You need to be drinking too. And that's when I'll probably take advantage of you more because now I don't give a fuck either. You know, we're both in this altered state of mind, right?
Yeah.
But I used to, I started drinking literally for that reason. Like, literally just because my percentage of getting some pussy went from 20% every day to fucking 50%, right? Something like that, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, it wasn't that high. I'm not that successful.
But, yeah, whatever.
But, like, to some degree like that. So, to your point, you're TF, like, oh, as soon as that second drink hits, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Your judgment is, like, flawed. Damn, that's fucked up. That also just made me think, like, damn, a lot of girls fuck me. They didn't even want to. They just did it for the... Oh, that hurt.
They not that they did it for something. They were like, I don't give a fuck. This booze is flowing and I'm going to roll with it.
I'm having a good time.
Right?
Fuck it. I used to say drunk actions speak sober thoughts.
Oh, fuck that.
But a lot of, now that, like, you said this, it's like, maybe
a lot
maybe
of
don't.
People say that. And a lot of motherfuckers going to argue when a person is drunk, they speak the truth. No. Oh, hell no, they don't. You know how many times I made up fucking stories? I made myself cry because I believed my own shit to that point. Like, it was just, no. Like, you're alcohol infused. It's not.
It's altering your reality. It is altering your reality. So
it is. And people sometimes think, oh, I'm feeling this way about this person, so I'm going to do a few shots and, you know, I'm going to spit it out or whatever. What's going to happen is you're going to exaggerate your emotions. You're not going to be, it's not real.
Or you'll numb them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two.
And you're not going to actually be honest. I think just grow a pair of fucking balls to be vulnerable, sober, and say what it, send it in a text message, okay? Like, if you can't, yeah, exactly. Like, just, man,
there's drinking and partying is crazy. Your tea,
it is.
It's crazy. Like the whole concept of it.
What's the craziest party you've been to?
Craziest party. I've been to so many. I think there's levels to the shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I guess we can start at the low level, college. Like, I used to do a lot of crazy college parties. I used to throw tons of parties, right? Mm-hmm. I threw Four Loko parties. If you don't know what Four Loko is, good. Good. You survived an era.
No.
That shit was the wildest.
Tell me, what is Four Loko?
You know what
parties?
Four Loko? Oh, you don't know what Four Loko is? Oh, my God. So you're too young. You're too young. So,
I'm not too young. I'm also Lithuanian, bitch.
That too. But you're too young for the era, I'm saying, because you weren't in the United States yet when that shit was out.
Yeah.
So Four Loko was a alcoholic beverage. It was a malt liquor, which is essentially like a wine. It's essentially a wine. It's like almost the, you know, the alcohol content of wine. And it also had it had caffeine in it. Tons of caffeine. Like,
oh, dear.
It had like four Red Bulls worth of caffeine.
Oh, my God.
And like a wine. So it was like you drinking wine with caffeine in it. And you could drink two of those, and I promise you, you black out.
Oh, my God.
You don't remember
those days.
Shit. People were dying. It got outlawed. Yeah. Kids were dying because they were drinking, and their hearts would explode.
Yeah.
This shit was so toxic. And I would throw Four Loko parties because they outlawed it. I went and bought cases of it from these,
these
liquor stores. And then I'd sell them at the door of the party.
Oh, my God.
For, like, you know, outrageous prices. And you would... Like, I puked in a sock drawer once. Like, I couldn't make it to my bathroom. I took the sock drawer and I'm puking all in it, running down the fucking hallway. And then I woke up in the bathtub, like, just like socks and puke all over me in the bathtub.
Oh my
God. And I didn't remember any of this shit.
That is so disgusting.
And, like, Four Loko was just the craziest. If you ask anybody who's ever drank it, those were the craziest times of their partying experience.
Yeah.
You just blacked out and shit, bash at me. So that's one level, right? A partying, which is crazy. But like, when I got older, it was like, for me now, it's like Vegas, right? I have these Vegas trips.
Yeah.
And I party, have a bottle service.
Yeah.
Spending 25 grand in a weekend.
Yeah.
In a weekend. you know, one time we had this this Bellagio suite. Right, it was like the Hangover suite, but Hangover's in Caesar's Palace, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's a Bellagio. It's like 3,000 square foot, like
a, I don't know what
room.
That like. It doesn't tell me anything. Like
it was essentially
double hotel room. Let's say we're starting like a double hotel room, and then like that's our reference point. So like listeners,
okay. So think about a regular hotel room, okay? Multiply that by 15.
Oh,
shit.
God damn.
It's massive. So, like, there was seven bathrooms, two
Holy
living rooms,
shit.
A kitchen, two big-ass bedrooms with, you know, three king-size beds.
Yeah.
And it's just three of us. It's just three guys. And we had this huge-ass place. And like,
I when y'all motherfuckers were balling? Because we would have had coke from my ass crack.
I didn't know you
and,
yet.
Like...
I didn't know you yet. I didn't meet you yet. This was summer 16, baby. This was summer 16.
I'm just saying, you would do coke off my fucking butt crack, you know? Like,
my,
we would
cheeks,
have...
Cheeks.
Crack. My crack. My butt. You would. Because if it's summer 16 and the way you were going and, like...
Oh, yeah, probably.
Where
probably,
I
probably,
was at
probably,
summer
yeah,
16.
Yeah. It could have been wild. I mean, one night we had a party at that hotel room. We had 20 girls. It was us three and 20 girls in this hotel room.
How
like,
do you get 20 girls? Walk me through your strategy.
When you're spending that amount of money at bottle service...
You just acquire them.
You attract them. And then you just see them. And you're like, yo, stop. Have a drink with me. And they're not going to say no. So then you just pour them a drink. And then they like you. You're talking to them. I'm, you know, we're pretty charismatic, I would say.
Yeah.
And you just, it just is flowing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get to the end of that, right, that road. And it's the same. It's no
different.
What do
you mean it's the same?
Like, that atmosphere is like the craziest, most expensive shit you can do, right? And... In the end, it feels the same as it did on regular parties.
For a local
cheap
party?
Shit, for local parties and shit like that. You're hungover. You have a lot of regret. You're tired. and you're not fulfilled afterwards, right? You're still lonely, right? You get to the end of it. You have a story to tell. You know, I got stories to tell.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, at the end of that, you know, I this is kind of fucked up. I mean, it was good. It wasn't fucked up. I brought this chick back.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the night.
For the story. Like,
For the podcast story, I opened up the electric blinds, right? Like, the fucking blinds open up, and you know, we got the Bellagio fountain out in front.
Yeah,
and she looks all like, wow, and I just like decided to smash her right there in the window. So she
titties on the window,
the fountain right there on the window.
Please tell me you like squeeze her against the window so like her titties were like. You know,
I did. You know, I did on the glass. What was even crazier is there was a girl sleeping in the bed right next to us while I was doing it.
What happens like, in Vegas stays in Vegas. You shouldn't be telling this story because what happens in Vegas fucking stays in Vegas.
I don't know those girls.
But you're breaking like the universal rule.
That code. Yeah. That code is dead. That code been dead since cell phones been out.
Oh, like, I know.
Everybody puts all their fucking shit all on a damn gram.
I mean,
and
what happens
stories.
In Vegas stays in Vegas with me. My story is in fucking Vegas and it's not coming out.
Yeah, well, just this one saying. Wasn't that big a deal. Listen, that this one that big a deal. Like, smashing some chicks. Oh, what, everybody smashes. It was the most exciting type of, like, because this Bellagio fountain's fucking going on.
Was it at night?
And I'm like, huh?
Was it at night?
Yeah, it was at night. It was at night. Yeah, it was at night. So it was fire, man. It was dope. Yeah. But those experiences, they happen, but is it worth it in the end? You know, like, I always ask myself, like, is it worth it in the end? And I don't know. I don't know. Is the experience of that doing it worth it in the end?
Yeah, I think if you have the self-love and, you know, you're not escaping anything, fucking do it for the podcast. You know what I mean? Like, just if you have the money to blow and you're not going into debt and if you can allow yourself, do it. Like, if you're not going to come home with a broken phone, lost credit cards, in debt, not knowing
shit
what the
yourself.
Fuck happened, regretting, shitting yourself, you know, regretting whatever. Maybe you like your partner's divorcing you because of the things that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Then don't fucking do it. Don't.
Yeah.
But if you can go out, have fun without any problems, and then wake up the next day and be like, this was good times, so let's go
dope.
Home, then do it. Fucking
you know,
yeah.
Though, I agree with that, but, you know, that doesn't always happen. And I guess I could say I'm a little embarrassed by this, but I'm okay with it. In summer 16, during summer 16, I spent ungodly amount of money. Like I spent more money that summer, and that I guess it was the beginning of the summer. It was like it was my 30th birthday, right? And I sold my Porsche on my 30th birthday and went to Vegas.
Banged some chicks in the window.
I mean, whatever.
No, I'm
bro.
Selling
like,
this
was,
Porsche. I'm
was,
about to fuck this bitch over Bellagio.
I was newly single. I was newly single. 5-year relationship that I just got out of.
With
and
no,
I was
with no pussy.
Yeah, with no pussy too at that. And I was loathing something. Right, I was missing something in my life.
Yeah.
I needed something, and I needed to fill this gap. So
I take back the time,
and I partied like no other. I spent more money that year just partying. Than I made. I spent more money that year.
I think that's a sign that you might have issues.
I had a problem. I would say I had a problem. And like you say, if you couldn't, you didn't go into debt. I did go into debt doing this shit.
It was
not fun. It was not good. Oh, it was fun. Listen, it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It wasn't fun after the aftermath of it. And you have to be careful. You have to be careful about doing that type of shit and getting sucked in because. It's a spiral, man, and that shit is like it's like fucking drugs.
Yeah,
that high you can get, and it was the best year of my life. I can say that.
Yeah,
but from a story standpoint, you know what I'm saying?
From a pure
crazy for the podcast type story, I could tell you stories for fucking hours if I wanted to. Not
oh
going
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
But
I used to party
like,
hard too.
But I would say be careful. Yeah, you did. We met like that. You know, we met
on Christmas Eve, so I wasn't like that, but you saw the way I partied.
I was.
Yeah. But like we met, it was quiet night, right?
Oh, it was quiet night though.
Yeah,
it
was
quiet
night.
Yeah.
But then you saw the way I partied, like the following
immediately.
Day.
Immediately,
fucking,
like right
me
after
and my
I
friend
saw you partying.
Stealing a bottle, whatever, like just immediately. Then we went to the wedding together, like
I forgot about that wedding we went to. Yeah. That was crazy.
Immediately, and the New Year's and shit like that. It was just like you saw me. I was like, I was a party on my own.
Yeah, you were a fucking party.
I was a party. Like, and everybody then, looked at me and they're like, day, shh, this girl.
Listen, oh, opening day.
God damn.
Your tea was a hot mess.
I wasn't a party girl then. I was a mess. I was a big mess. I was a big mess.
But yeah, all these things, right? These are all effects, right? All of these things are effects.
When do you think, like, you know, let's say somebody who's listening to us, like, they're out and partying and, you know, they're like, oh, this is fun.
It's part
and stuff
of their
like
life
that.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When do you think they should be alarmed that it's getting toxic? When do you think what could be a sign for them to be like,
just chill out, fuck out? It's a few signs. One, a financial sign. If it's causing you any type of financial grief, like if you have to either scrape up money to party, or you can see that it's a large portion of the money you're spending. Yeah. Like your whole salary.
I remember scraping money when I was like 17 or 18.
Me too.
To
scraping up $3 just to get a fucking a Bud Heavy, right? Just to get fucking a 40.
Yeah.
40 of malt liquor,
just
right?
So I can get
fucking
just
drunk.
Just to get buzzed,
If you're scraping up money for it. Now, if you're in college, that part, you're broke. I get it.
Yeah, when cool. You're in uni, it's a different story.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. But when you're out of uni.
You're an adult and you're scraping up dollars to go out. You should probably reconsider your life.
Yeah.
If your health starts to become a factor, if you start to feel pains from drinking, your liver's not right, there are physical signs to, you know, damage, right?
Oh, of course.
Those situations, you should probably take a break. You should probably step back. If you can't sleep, right? There's all these different things. Those are types of things for me. The money. The health, right? If you feel like shit all the time.
Yeah.
Or if you crave it and you can't, like Yurti said, like you were like, I can't not drink today. I need to drink.
Like I don't want to be sober because
I don't
want to
be
sober.
It's
just too, I need a drink.
Yeah. If you feel that, then you should take a step back and really analyze what's going on in your life. Because it can be very harmful. It could be less than just social.
Yeah. From female's perspective, my advice would be to our female listeners, I hope that you passed this point, but if you're not, please take it and please use it. If you find yourself going on a lot of first dates and sleeping with them on the first date and having that going nowhere, it's time to consider sober dates. It's definitely time to, as awkward as it's going to be, it's time to consider sober dates because alcohol is ruining your chance at dating. Another thing is, like, if you have a lot of, like, bruises and scraped up knees and your credit card, your ID, and your phone is constantly being, like, broken, lost, or chipped or something, it's definitely a sign that you need to take a notch down. Because blacking out, when you're in it, you're like, oh, this is fun. But the way you look from the outside in, it's just not hot.
It's gross.
It's not hot. It's not fun for... Because when you blacken out, a lot of chance, like there's a huge chance that people that are with you are not blacking out and you're a fucking burden to them. Like, stop. Don't do that. Make it fun. If you're drinking and you can't count your drinks, maybe take a 20-minute break and
drink
some water, like have a beer instead of like a hard liquor and then wait for alcohol to kick in. So then like you're drunk, but you're not blacking out and then you don't need to drink anymore. Like find a way to fucking control yourself. But like, again, if you find yourself going on a lot of first dates and it's not going anywhere because you have fun and you thought everything's going well and you had sex and he's not calling you, you gotta stop drinking. You have to stop drinking.
You gotta. That's a good point, man.
And then
that's
your phone, like girls, a lot of times they would lose shoes and clothing would tear apart and come home with bruises and shit like that on the legs. You have to take a nudge. I'm not saying you have to stop partying, but that's a sign that you should probably focus your time and money elsewhere as a girl. Just saying.
I see that a lot. And why is it that we see that so much more in girls? Like that part of it, like blacking out and the dropping their phone and losing control completely physically. Like,
yeah, they're just like,
just sloppy. That's that white girl wasted shit. That's what
white
they
girl
call
it. White girl wasted. White girl like, wasted. I don't know, but it's not only in girls. Like, we see that in those girls. There are a lot of females where they're just fine. They can handle the fucking liquor no issue.
I'm not saying only girls. I'm just saying, like, it seems to be more prevalent in females. Maybe it's just because alcohol content is in the size of us.
I read this somewhere, like, and don't quote me on this, but like, females can handle their alcohol better than guys, but they get drunk faster. So like, if guys, like, let's say a guy like me and you, right? Mm-hmm. I have 10 drinks in front of me and you have 10 drinks in front of me. With a second drink, I'm gonna get buzzed. You might get buzzed with a fourth drink, but I plateau. I would plateau and you would get drunker. That was what I read. That was years ago. Don't quote me. I don't know anything.
I don't know nothing about that.
But they say women get faster because maybe their bodies like absorb and divide something faster, whatever. But they plateau. And maybe that's where blacking out is coming from.
I don't know. Luckily, I don't black out often. I've blacked out maybe 5 times in my life, maybe less than that, because my body has like a cutoff switch. It knows like, all right, bro, you're done. You can't drink anymore. Like, it won't even let me. Like, if I smell alcohol at that point, I'll throw up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it stops me. Luckily, I have that defense mechanism.
Yeah.
But if I'm taking shots, like we said, like, if you don't take that time before you're drunk, you can get in. I can go in, you know? So,
Yeah.
Blacking out's not fun.
Basically, what we're trying to say is we want to bring awareness to those who might be escaping something with partying, that take care of yourself. Figure out why you out. Are you out to network? Are you like, because I've made some great connections through the bar. We met at the fucking bar. Mm-hmm. You know, I met great connections and got jobs and school help and all that through partying and things like that. But I've also lost a lot of like myself and my dignity and you know my
brain cells and all that
brain
other shit.
Cells like my self-worth at the bar and stuff like that, you know. So if you find yourself in those situations, like, take a nudge down, like, make sure that you know why you're out. Like, don't scrape money, don't fucking break your phone and cause yourself all this shit.
Don't go into debt. I know that's an extreme
That's love an extreme, yourself.
But love yourself. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, have fun, though. I mean, if you ever see me out partying, hit your boy up. You know what I'm saying? Just say what's up to Jay Nails. I mean, I'm not going to stop partying completely, but I do monitor it a lot more. I monitor myself better, and I monitor my finances and all this shit.
Yeah.
So, like,
you
just have to make sure it's within your realm of responsibility. Just have to be responsible.
And the party is always going to be there.
Yeah, the party will always... Do not fear. Don't have FOMO.
You're not missing out on anything.
You're not missing out on shit.
Yeah. If you're going to skip, like I said, 5 years of partying, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be exactly the same thing. You're not missing out on anything. If anything, you're missing out on your fucking life that you can be creating for yourself with all that time and energy and money wasted on booze. Mm-hmm. And entrance to get in into the club.
That too, you know what I'm saying? And on that note, I'm gonna go get a drink after this. No, I'm gonna go eat.
Oh, damn, dog.
I've been the book.
Yes, I have the book.
Pop that thing open.
I'm glad
pop that thing open.
You got into a habit too of like doing the quote thing.
Oh, of course. I mean, I look forward to it.
The Beginner's Guide to the Universe, Uncommon Ideas for Living an Unusually Happy Life by Mike Dooley.
By Mike Dooley. All right.
Okay, ready? One,
drum
two, three.
Roll. Go.
Shit, another one.
Stop.
Okay, left or right?
Right.
That's right. Okay, there's four quotes.
Bottom, all the way bottom.
Bottom, okay. It's easier to let go of the past once you realize that no matter how differently things might have gone, you still couldn't be more loved than you now are, nor could you have more to look forward to. Okay, one more time. I see Jerry's not even trying to like understand anything.
I was
like, we're gonna read this again anyway, and I'm
we
not
are,
gonna get
but
it
I,
anyway.
I got the first part.
Okay. It's easier to let go of the past once you realize that no matter how differently things might have gone, you still couldn't be more loved than you are now, nor could you have more to look forward to.
Got it. So
I don't understand. Hold on, I gotta read this again for myself.
Okay, all right.
And I'm gonna stop, and then you can say.
All right.
It's easier to let go of the past once you realize that no matter how differently things might have gone, you still couldn't be more loved than you are now.
Okay, so that first part is, you know, you can't change the past, right? So even if things would have gone really shitty or a lot better than you think they should have, it won't change the amount of love that you currently have from people or yourself right now. It wouldn't have changed it. So the outcome
that happened in the past is not changing the present.
The outcome, the outcome doesn't matter. The present is here.
Nor could you have more to look forward to.
That part is a little hard to understand. But
maybe it's like going from the bad to the good. Like I would say, the way I'm understanding this is like the topic of the. Of this part of the book, it's called Learning from All That Hurts. So it's probably realizing that whatever happened in the past, it doesn't matter today, and you have all the opportunity to do it differently in the future. Like you have things to look forward to. Like you can paint your future bright colors regardless of the past.
Yeah, and even regardless of the present, you always should have something to look forward to, but it won't be any more or less, they're saying, based on your past. Like, it's just the present. I think it really is saying stay in the fucking present and be happy.
Well, the chapter is called Learning from All That Hurts. I'm gonna read that again. Something is not, and our listeners, if you stay with us all the way through the end of the episode, if you listen to us read these quotes, I want to hear how you understand these quotes. I'm really curious because this is just me and Jerry, and you know, we're kind of on the same we're just kind of on the same page, like we're our social bubble, but I really want to hear how you guys understand these quotes and what you see in it, because I just want to know what you guys think. So let us know. You can comment, you can send us a voice note on using Anchor, but you can also find a link on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Like if you go into our show notes or podcast notes, there's a link that says you can leave us a voice note. So you can send us a voice note saying, you know, your opinion or just giving us a shout out.
Yeah, just ask a question, something you want us to talk about, whatever.
We want to hear from you. We want to say hi and connect with you guys. All right, so back to the quote. It's easier to let go of the past once you realize that no matter how differently things might have gone, you still couldn't be more loved than you are now, nor could you have more look forward to. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like, basically saying like whatever happened in the past, it's in the past, and it's today past, and tomorrow is better than
if you can appreciate today, you won't need to worry or dwell on the past. Is what I the way
that's how you
it.
Get it. I want to do another one. Should we do another one?
Sure.
I want to do another quote. Okay.
Stop. You ain't quite like that one, huh? You know, what was it?
Left or right?
Left. Top.
There's two, so I'm reading the top one. It's a long one, man. Ready?
Hey, you know. Yeah.
Okay, the chapter is called How Things, quotation mark. How Things Happen, the Logistics of Magic and Miracles.
Okay.
Interesting, right? Okay. One way to defeat invisible, limiting beliefs is to dream and move towards a life so grand that the only way those new thoughts could become things is if any beliefs in their way were obliterated. And so they shall be. Your beliefs are only invisible when you live within their limits. Better to reach, stretch, and dream big. Oh, this is easy.
That was easy. It literally says exactly what it means.
Yeah. I'm going to read it again, but it's a really nice one. It's like a nicely way put. And I think that's what I need right now because I'm launching, you know, a new business and I'm just kind of like, everybody's going to laugh at me. But anyway, I don't know
as
why
I
feel this way.
Like, as I laugh.
Yeah, as you laugh. But like, I don't understand why I feel this way because it's not that I'm going to like putting out my fucking pussy on a screen for everybody to like dissect or whatever.
So your business is not an OnlyFans.
No, I'm going into coaching business. helping people, you know, serving my community. And I think that somebody's going to laugh at me and say that this is fucking ridiculous. Go get a real job. Like, how stupid it is of me to feel that way. Because I'm not doing something fucking dumb. Even if I was doing something dumb, so what?
Man, being self-conscious is a hell of a drug, man. That shit is crazy.
One way to defeat invisible limiting beliefs is to dream and move towards a life so grand that the only way those new thoughts could become things if is any belief in their way were obliterated. And so they shall be. Your beliefs are only invisible when you live within their limits. Better to reach, stretch, and dream big. Yeah.
I love this book.
Reach, stretch, live big. Listeners, y'all do the same thing. Reach, stretch, and live big.
Big, motherfuckers.
Not fat, big.
But don't, you know, living big doesn't mean to, like, chuck down a vodka bottle. But like,
Yeah. That's not what I meant. I didn't mean to go party big.
Yeah.
But you can if you want.
Right, well, thank you, Jira. This was a great episode. Thank you, our listeners, for sticking with us another week. We really want to hear from you. So if you can, please give us a review. We want to hear your comments, questions, everything. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcast. Make sure it's 5 stars.
Yeah, 5 stars.
You can reach out. You can reach out to us directly on Instagram. I'm going to leave our handles in our show notes because I'm not going to go about spelling it.
Nels knows, baby. Nels underscore knows anyway.
Oh, fuck you.
She don't want to do all hers and all that spelling.
It's
just
long
stuff,
and I don't know how to spell that well.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to leave it in show notes. You can find all the information in show notes, guys. Thank you. Bye. Thanks, guys.